This week, we're actually visiting the church at Smyrna. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. And to the angel of the church at Smyrna write, "These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Smyrna was a rich and prosperous city 40 miles north of Ephesus. In ancient times, one of the finest cities of Asia. It was celebrated for its schools of science, medicine, and for its beautiful architecture. On the slope of Mount Pegasus was a theater that seated 20,000 spectators, not a small town. From Nelson Bible Dictionary, I've got this little bit of information. In 23 BC, Smyrna, being a faithful Roman city for years, was given the honor of building the temple to the emperor, Tiberius. The city became a center for the cult of emperor worship as a result. Later in AD 54 to 96, rulers such as Domitian and Nero brought on severe persecution for the early church. The word Smyrna is related to myrrh, which in turn is symbolic of death. Want to be a believer in Smyrna? Let's all go to Smyrna and be a believer. Let's go back to the early church when things were done right. Things were done all right. It was here that Polycarp, the bishop, angel of the church of Smyrna, was martyred. Again, angel being simply the messenger or the one looking after the one who will answer to God for what goes on in the church. Apparently, the governor of Asia tried to persuade Polycarp to sacrifice to Caesar and curse Christ. His reply was, "I have served him for 86 years, and he has never done me any wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who has saved me?" The mob, led by local Jews, rushed to gather wood for the fire. Luke chapter 21, verses 10 to 19. Luke 21, 10 to 19. Jesus speaking of the end times. Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls." Jesus is repeating to this church what he had previously said would happen to the church in general prior to the end. It was happening in Smyrna. The book of Revelation was written around AD 95. The book of Luke was written around AD 60. It's most likely they would have had a copy of Luke's gospel. And now it's coming down on them. And there they were. Gospel means good news. To suffer persecution is to be a part of the good news in this world that hates God. We don't want to talk about that very much. But it hates God. Jesus spoke of this happening. Luke remembered it and he wrote it down. Jesus, the good news in person, was himself martyred. Don't need to remind you of that. Betrayed, mocked, beaten, crucified, dead, and buried. Rose again. The resurrection. It is to this church that Jesus uses the introduction from Revelation 2, 8b, the last half of that verse. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last who died and came to life. Me too, if necessary. I don't die. I'm going to leave this place sometime. I might leave it in my sleep. I might leave it martyred. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I'm living forever. Yeah. Amen. It is to this church that Jesus brings these words. What a great way to address these people. If it were in a situation like we would probably be thinking, pardon me, what a great way to address these people. If we were in a situation like this, we might probably be thinking, what a terrible way to end the Christian life. Oh my goodness. Oh no, not so and so. That could have, shouldn't have. Let's rise up an army and stop this. Rethink. Huh? You didn't realize I heard last week's sermon. I read the notes. Rethink. Maybe we're not thinking with God's mind on some of these things. Who died and came to life? Jesus said to Lazarus' sister Martha in 11:26 to 20 and verse 20. John 11, verses 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He says to Martha. She believed in the resurrection, but Martha, I mean, right now, your brother Lazarus, do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus could do this and protect you in such a way, even unto death? It's true. Jesus knew that they were facing death. He, the resurrection and the life, along with the Father, John 11, 41 and 42, if you want to check it out for a bit more background in it, had faced death and were victorious regarding Lazarus and himself. Let's take a look at the book of Hebrews for a minute, chapter 4. Book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus knew what it was like. What did he say in the garden to the Father? Father, if there's another way to do this, we should do it that way. I'd like to do it that way. But if this is the only way it can be done right, then let's do it. Oh, sometimes today we have interesting sayings like, the end justifies the means. No, doing the right thing the right way. Not just getting it done. Jesus didn't leave us here to just get it done. He left us here. He is here with us to do things with us, through us, the right way. Well, I don't understand. This works too. You know what? It works 5 feet in front of you, maybe even 20 feet in front of you. Beyond that, in our understanding, we can't really see. But Jesus, who is not bound by time in any way, shape, or form, knows everything he has planned to do in and through our lives. And so what if doing something now, this way, meant it would be done proper 5, 10, 20 years from now through other people? What if taking the shortcut now would make a different ending? We need to trust Jesus with all things. Psalm 16, verse 15 It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Not that we should be separated from our loved ones, but that we should no longer be separate from the Lord. Philippians 1:21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's eternity. Like we talk about heaven, but I don't think any of us really want to go there sometimes. But why not? Why not? We see it as a barrier, like it's something somewhere. Well, we can't see it. Of course you can't see it. But we have enough proof of what's gone on and recorded accurately in the Bible that we know it's real. It's a real place. I'm enjoying this here. This is fun here. But I'm not about to put this in front of heaven. If Jesus showed up one day and said, hey, Wayne, want to come home? Sorry, I won't be here for the next sermon. Oh, yes. Put nothing in front of that. Just leave you and Jesus out. Just live in here and suddenly you're there. How did I get here? Never mind, you wouldn't understand. Do you like it? Oh, I do like it, Lord. I do like it. Oh, yeah. So Jesus knew of their poverty. They were probably stripped of their possessions because of their attachment to the gospel. In Smyrna, being a Christian and holding a job didn't go together very well. He reminds them that in the midst of their earthly poverty, they are rich in the kingdom that really matters, the kingdom of God. That's the one that really matters. Trade guild membership was important both for finding work or operating a business. But belonging also involved attending the pagan festivals for the god or goddess to whom the guild was dedicated. Awkward time. Christians suffered much for not attending the meetings, and even more if they spoke out against them. Smyrna, as a city, lacked no wealth. The architectural splendors of the ancient world were seen everywhere. Did you catch a glimpse of some of those pictures when they first came up? Yeah, that's fine if you maybe bring them up a bit for a minute, James, and then go back. On the cluttered hillside were pagan temples to Asclepius, the god of healing and good life. Apollo for fame and fortune. Aphrodite for love and peace. Zeus, the god of the sky, responsible for all the weather and all other gods. God in a box, a very pagan idea. God in a box. That will give me what I want if I sacrifice this. Whoa, 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 whoa. No, no. Present your life a living sacrifice before God. Holy and acceptable. Whatever you say, Lord, let's do it. Lord, this is scary. I know, but will you do it? You know what? If you're in it, Lord, I'm in. Oh, Lord, I can't go any further. I know. Here, let me carry you for a bit. All of that stuff is involved in walking with Jesus. All of those experiences are there. And this church was in one of the worst, but there it was. The temples were a striking contrast to the humble homes in which the Christians met to worship the King of Kings. If we are devoted to God, we will be faithful to Him in the midst of adversity. Christ will not always take us out of our sufferings, but He will always be faithful and sufficient for us in our sufferings. Romans chapter 8. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Your greatest challenge in the midst of your greatest adversity will be to stay in love with God. The thing that will be flying in your face is to turn your back on Him and become embittered because you say that's not fair. Life's not fair. Life's not fair. God is good. And so, our greatest challenge, if you stay in love with God, your faith will grow and develop, and He'll take really good care of you, and you'll be able to see it and experience it. But if you turn your back and become embittered, it won't go so well. Not because God's not trying to bless you, but because you're not letting Him. You're not going to let him off the hook till he does the way you thought he should do it. Ooh, that's dangerous. That will grow a root of bitterness that will defile many. Many. Maybe you're packing around some bitterness from somewhere. Don't do that. Because you're inadvertently turning your back on God. And so all those things that he said would work together for good, you left out the main part. For those who love God. Let me put it a different way. For those who will love God. For those who have determined that no matter what happens, they're going to stay trusting and in love with God. That's a deliberate thing. There are going to be times when you have to, I don't need to tell you that. You know that, don't you? Times when you have to deliberately do that. Because you really don't want to. It's too hard. It's too heartbreaking. But you must. There is no place else you can go. Where shall we go, Lord? Yeah. If I make my bed in heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there too. Where else can I go? It's good, actually, because it brings a person to that place of really being in love with God. Not just in love with what God does. Easy to love God when he's giving you candy. It's harder when he serves you broccoli. Sometimes you need to eat your broccoli. Don't tell my wife I said that, because she's not here. I love broccoli if you put it with bacon and grapes. Then it's good. It's good for you. It's better for you than if you don't. Silly. Doesn't matter. Sometimes God serves us broccoli. If we are devoted to God, we will be faithful to him in the midst of adversity. And he will always be faithful and sufficient for us in our sufferings. We do not get to choose whether we are delivered from or delivered through adversities. I like to be delivered from them. That's my first one. Lord, from. Okay, Wayne, what do you want to go through today? Nothing. I didn't want to go through anything. You just give me the town and back and give me the ice cream I want and the chocolate bar I favor. That's good. I'm good. That's why he doesn't ask us a lot of what we think he should do. Just go with him. Just go with him. I've shared this with you many times, but I still remember that vision I saw of him and I'm walking down this path, and it was a great path, and it was these beautiful trees and a stream down here on the right, and it was a nice little path going down there. We're going down the road, and I'm starting to lean to the right. No, I'm just one step on the path. And he said, "Where are you going? Where are you going?" Oh, I'm just on the path, Lord. And there's also a very dry, high, ugly-looking mountain on the left that it's a mountain or whatever. So this is obviously the path, right? I mean, it would never be there. And he said, "No, not that way, Wayne. This way," and pointed toward the mountain. "Oh, we're going over that?" "No, Wayne, we're going through that." I don't even remember all the details. It took just over 20 years to go that way. It was the best way to go for me. I lost a lot of stuff. You know, you scrape a lot of stuff off when you're crawling through crags in a mountain. You don't have enough room to take a pack with you. Oh, yeah. He knows. He knows how to work in our lives and show himself strong on our behalf. This is God's choice, this thing. We don't get to choose whether to be delivered from or through. It's God's choice, and he sovereignly makes it. He knows exactly where we are, exactly who is affected by where we are. What? There's somebody else in the world? I thought it was just me, myself, and I. I get along with me, myself, and I. We all do. No, what about if it's for the sake of somebody else, what you go through? And you don't understand it. And you don't like it. I get that. But what's happening in that situation is God's trying to separate you from loving what he does to actually just loving him. You'll have a good marriage if you love your spouse. If you're just in love with what they can do for you, your marriage won't last 7 years. Just in love with God. Yeah. Will it make you cry? Oh, yeah, sometimes. Will it break your heart? Often. Often. Best thing I've discovered is that God heals broken hearts all the time. The same one. I've lost track of how many times my heart's been healed or broken. But God is faithful in all of these things. So God makes the choices. He knows exactly where we are, exactly who is affected by where we are, and exactly how to use this for his glory in establishing a closer fellowship with his mankind, which includes a healthy, active faith that actually works. Not a health and wealth gospel, a healthy, active faith that works. It will sustain you through everything and anything. It doesn't matter. He's sufficient in it all. That's what they needed in this town, big time. And actually, we need it all the time because we don't know what kind of a town we might be moved to. For somebody else's sake. We think it's for us. That sometimes throws us off. We say things like, I don't need this. We don't know that. I have days when I say, I don't need this. You don't know that. Remember where the Lord met Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Where did he meet those fellows? Oh, no, he kept them from the furnace, didn't he? It was down in a little cave somewhere. He met them, brought them lunch, and they never actually got thrown in a furnace, did they? Seriously? Yeah, seriously. Seriously. In the fiery furnace. And Daniel, when he was thrown to the lions, the Lord was with Daniel in the lion's den. The realization that Christ is all that we need is never so keen as when he's all that we have. When you don't have a prayer, when all you can say is Jesus. Jesus. You're down for the count. Jesus. That's good enough. It works great. He's there with you. And we'll see you through. He'll see you through. Oh, something else too. you might not like this part, but when you go through a trial, and if you endure and come out exactly the same, you failed. Oh, sorry. Told you might not like it. You failed. I failed. How did I fail? I got through it. It's not all about you. If you come through differently, thinking differently, responding differently, loving differently, all those things, perfect. Just what he wanted. Just what he wanted. We are being conformed into the image of Christ, which means change. Oh, how often? Every 5 years? Every 7 years? No. Constantly changing. Constantly. In love. And if you will, in flux. Our character, our personality. Would you like to be different? How many people that know you would like you to be different? Ay, ay, ay. What about that? There's people all around you that maybe would like you to be different. Oh, gosh. Lord, none of this can be true, surely. You know, you're going to have to go home and try to shake this sermon off. Or take a shower or something, get rid of it. I hope it drills a hole right down to the center of your heart. And for some of you, you'll never be the same. Anyway, end with a poem. A poem by Amy Carmichael. A subtle love of softening things. And easy choices, weakenings. Not thus are spirits fortified. Not this way went the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. hardcore Christianity. These people were in it, and they lived it well. The Lord didn't rebuke this church. He said, hang on. Stay in there. I'm with you. Because that's where the Lord is. In this God-forsaking world. God-forsaking world. It's where we are. I want to get out. No. Why would you want to get out of living forever with the King of Kings? Oh, man. You'll recognize me when you get there. I'll be the one walking around with my mouth open. Unbelievable. Lord, thank you for your word and for these great people and for your great strength and anointing in and through them. Continue to bless and be the celebrated increase of their love. Of their love, yes, definitely, and their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.